We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
We are just 21 hours away from kickoff in League One, and Pompey are ready for the fight of another long campaign. The Blues have defeated both Stevenage and Colchester United within the past 2 weeks to secure two wins in different cup competitions. On Tuesday night, one man in particular stood out from the rest.
Curtis trying to find Harness, edge of the area. Chance for Marcus Harness, shot, goal! Good strike from Marcus Harness.
Marcus Harness opened the scoring on 37 minutes before doubling the lead less than 90 seconds later.
Harness chance for a second. Harness finishes, beating the goalkeeper to get his second inside 2 minutes.
So, Kenny Jackett's side are through to round two of the Carabao Cup and have 3 points on the board in the EFL Trophy. But what really matters is tomorrow's league curtain raiser at home to Shrewsbury. As always, Pompey fans would love to hear your thoughts and predictions ahead of the game. Should Marcus Harness be deployed as a winger or in the number 10 role this weekend? Would you consider Jack Watmore to be the leading option at centre-back? And in which positions do the Blues need to strengthen if they are to compete for promotion this season? Find all of the ways to get involved on our website, expressfm.com. We are back to our usual time slots twice a week, every week between now and the end of the season. A very warm welcome to you all to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very, very good evening and welcome to the show, which this season is being driven to you by Stagecoach Buses. Find out more information on timetables, fares and, of course, COVID restrictions on their website, stagecoach.co.uk. We have reached the eve of the new League One campaign and indeed the night of the first game in the Championship as Middlesbrough travel to Watford later this evening. We have completed pre-season, played in the League Cup and the EFL Trophy. I think it's safe to say, ladies and gentlemen, that football is back. It may not be in the same capacity, of course, in all meanings of the word, but we have made it and it's time to move on from last campaign's playoff heartbreak and start afresh in the third tier. Could this finally be our year? Get in touch and let us know where you think Pompey will end up in the final standings come May the 8th. Whilst you do that, and while I go and call my two guests for tonight's hour of discussion, let's take a listen back to Pompey's most recent fixture. The Blues, who are still holders of the 2019 title, welcomed League Two Colchester United's Fratton Park on Tuesday night, aiming for a 16th consecutive victory in the competition. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham were your commentary team for this one.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Here we go then, Pompey going from left to right, usual direction in this first half as Portsmouth come forward. And Curtis misplaces a pass when he was looking to find Ronan Curtis, and Colchester go back to Shamal George, who will take a touch and try and chip it out as if Colchester keen to try and play their way out of trouble. And they've been successful so far. And the first contribution in Callum Johnson's Portsmouth career is a body check to send Courtney Senior to the ground. Curtis is in a good attacking position, and Curtis having a go at his man and getting across into the penalty area, and Harness with a chance, loose ball in the box, and it falls to the goalkeeper, and Shamal George gratefully picks it up after four players went for the ball. No one could quite get it, and it was sat there kindly for the goalkeeper to pick up. Best chance of the game, 0-0. Harness tries a crossfield ball looking towards Johnson, and Johnson's headed on to Marquis, and Johnson's made the run in the box. Can Marquis find him? He took an extra touch and his cross is blocked behind for the first corner of the game. 0-0. Right footed out swinger to come from Gareth Evans from just down in front of us. It's towards the penalty spot. Header from Raggett, who's firm, powerful and over the bar. 0-0. Here's Ronan Curtis trying to find Harness, edge of the area. Chance for Marcus Harness, shot, goal! Good strike from Marcus Harness.
crisp attacking play from Portsmouth from the edge of the box. He drives it low past the goalkeeper. It's Portsmouth 1, Colchester United 0. Oh, Harness is onside into the box. Harness chance for a second. Harness finishes. Beating the goalkeeper. Colchester claiming the offside flag. Should have gone up. It didn't. And Marcus Harness finishes emphatically to get his second inside 2 minutes. The assist from Jack Watmore. Good ball forward from him. It's Portsmouth 2, Colchester 0. Oh, terrible back pass. Ellis Harrison surely been gifted a goal. Can he find it into the net? Cannon, it's blocked. Now will Evans over the bar? Colchester doing their best to gift Portsmouth a goal, and Pompey unable to take the offer. Either Harrison, Cannon or Evans can't force it home. It's still 2-0. And that is the final action of Portsmouth's first game of the season here at Fratton Park. And it's finished probably in the kind of style you might have predicted before the game, despite them being not off colour, but under pressure for parts of the first half an hour. Portsmouth have comfortably beaten Colchester United by 2-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The Blues there securing all 3 points in the Southern Section Group A, with West Ham United under-21s beating Southend United by 3-1 earlier that same evening to go top of the table after the first round of fixtures. Kenny Jackett's side travel to Roots Hall to face Southend on Tuesday the 6th of October for their next trophy match. After the midweek win at Fratton, Andy Moon caught up with the gaffer for his assessment of the game.
Kenny, congratulations on the victory. How's your summary of that one?
Yeah, I thought it was a solid performance. Better defensive performance, particularly at the start of the game, than we had at Stevenage, which we did need. And hopefully it sets us up well for Saturday anyway. With no game at the weekend, it's been a sort of strange build-up to Saturday's game against Shrewsbury, but I still feel for the players that played, you know, they'll be, and play on Saturday, they'll be better for tonight, and we'll get into a rhythm, build their confidence, and I do feel, you know, good workout tonight, and very, very good workout. Pleased with the clean sheet, 2 excellent goals, we could have had more, and as I said, you know, it's just some work towards the big one on Saturday.
Had to wait though, that first 20 minutes, Colchester really did dominate possession.
They did, and they're a good footballing side, very good footballing side. And I've watched a couple of their pre-season games and watched them play, you know, against some good sides, and they've moved the ball well, very well. But similarly, I did think we kept them down to a minimal amount of shots or chances, which in the end, if you've got a, you know, possession side against you, you have to be solid at the back. It's very important.
You mentioned the solidity. Why do you think it was so much better than Stevenage tonight?
Yeah, we've worked at it. There's obviously some different players as well, but similar formation. And wherever we make changes this season, and we will have to, there is no doubt about that. We want people to come in knowing their jobs. Two good debuts tonight as well, I thought, in Callum Johnson and Cameron Pring. You know, it's good for them to get a blue shirt on pretty quickly.
Dilemma at left back is to go with Pring or Brown for Saturday now?
I think we'll need them both on the course of the season, and both are good players. That's a good thing. It's a difficult position at times if you haven't got natural players there, and we have got two natural players there for the season. You know, we can see that tonight.
How significant can a fully fit Jack Watmore be for your team?
Yeah, and you know, he had a good partnership with Walter Raggett tonight. Not played together too many times, but it's a good performance. Hopefully he can gain confidence and fitness from it. And, you know, after obviously a long layoff for COVID, you know, it's nice to get out there and playing at Fratton Park, and, you know, you can do all the training that you want, but as games can only really give you that sort of that touch and that confidence and that judgment.
Is he fully fit? Could he play game after game the way they come? Because obviously before, when he was used, he tended to be used more once a week. Is he now at the point he could play 2 a week?
Well, we'll see. I'd like to think so. It's going to be difficult not to, and you know, for us anyway. One thing about the season, we're going to need durable players, but we are going to need a squad as well. We do know that. But for Jack, he's had a good pre-season. Anyway, you know, I've been very pleased with him. He's performed well in pre-season, and he performed well tonight. And that's all you can do as you try to get yourself into the team for the start of the year.
Andy Canning came on the left. Is that an option you're looking at to maybe use in there?
Yeah, we've used Andy in different positions, but I do think... anywhere behind the, you know, the three behind the striker is very good. It wasn't necessarily his natural position, if you like, but I do feel with the sort of the movement with the 10, it was good to get him on the pitch.
And finally, Hadji Minoga played for Gosport tonight. Is a low move there possible, probable?
Or? Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Hadji's sort of 18 years old and we want to get him some minutes. I don't want him at the moment necessarily going out long term. And, you know, for us anyway, you know, the non-league ones where we can get him playing, recall him, get him into men's football, you know, it is a good one. And then we'll see, you know, how the early weeks of our season pans out.
Just squeeze one more in. Any possible arrivals or departures in the next coming days?
I would doubt that, you know, anything will change before the weekend, but, you know, we're always working, and if something suddenly develops, we wouldn't hesitate to pull the trigger on it, but there's nothing imminent, and in terms of today or tomorrow, you know, I would think that things will be quiet by the weekend.
Thanks for your time, Kenny.
Pleasure.
Kenny Jackett there discussing with Andy his thoughts on Tuesday night's 2-0 victory over Colchester. Here now, joining me over the phone lines for tonight's show is Pompey live analyst, stats man, and well, really dictionary, Ryan Steelwell. Ryan, thanks for joining us this evening. Are you still connected there?
I'm still connected, Jake. Good evening.
We have liftoff success. How are you doing, Ryan? It's been a few days since we obviously last met at Fratton Park on Tuesday night. What did you make of the performance, which, well, in my opinion, it was essentially an audition from the players starting to make the cut for this weekend's league opener?
Pretty much, yeah. When you take what happened in the Stevenage game, what I said in the build-up to the Colchester game is that we just need to look more composed in that game against Colchester. We need from start to finish to not look like a team that is totally unprepared for a 46-game league season that's about to come upon us. And we genuinely did look unprepared at Stevenage. So I was just looking for something a bit more professional, something a bit more measured. I think we got that against Colchester. There wasn't really any panic. There was maybe one ball into the box where I think Cam Pring fell over. But even then, it was cleared with haste. Apart from that, we did look more composed. And for all of Colchester's patient possession play, they didn't really have any, you know, fantastic efforts on goal. They didn't really worry us too much. And then Marcus Harner scored 2 in 90 seconds to really put us in control. So I was satisfied with Tuesday's performance. I wasn't looking for a thrashing. I was just looking for a bit of composure heading into this weekend. And I think we got exactly that. We had something to build on.
The thoughts of Ryan Steelwell there. Let's now hear from Josh Sweetman, sports journalism graduate and all-round nice guy, as described in his Twitter bio. Josh, how are you?
Oh, very well, thanks. I knew you'd bring that up as well.
it's good to have you on. It's yes, strange circumstances at the moment as we're joined over the phone by you guys. But of course, watching on from back home, Josh, listening in, we hope as well. Tuesday night's 2-0 victory over Colchester in the trophy. Essentially, Pompey still bidding to retain the title of the EFL trophy. That final from last season still hasn't been played, but going into the new campaign with games coming thick and fast, I think we're going to have plenty of midweek fixtures. Is the EFL trophy something that perhaps you wouldn't mind as a fan to be knocked out of early stages this season to get the league campaign over and done with?
I think it's one of those. I think every Pompey fan will probably tell you at the start of the campaign they're more than happy for us to go out. And then obviously as we get closer towards the final, which inevitably we always do under Jackett, then that opinion changes. I, for one, personally don't think that it's too much of a hindrance. It's more late on in the competition when you start to see Jackett put out a strong team, when you're thinking, when the early rounds you put out a sort of rotated squad and those players should really be the ones playing, giving the first 11 really some breathing space.
Yeah. I mean, we say it every season, Ryan, don't we, about the EFL trophy and, you know, would you like to be knocked out early to focus on the league? But this season, with obviously COVID-19 still around and with league fixtures, I mean, we start the season tomorrow, which is a month later than scheduled, and we end the campaign around about the same time as we usually would. So games will be very compact this season. And with the EFL trophy and with the salary cap in place as well, Pompey are likely to employ a shortened squad as opposed to usual seasons. So is this more of an incentive now? Again, sort of the same question I asked Josh back then, about, you know, looking for your opinion on this. Would it be more of an incentive to exit the competition at an early stage?
there is certainly an argument to it. I do agree with Josh that in a standard season, I don't think it will be much of a hindrance, no. Because any club worth its salt competing on multiple fronts should really have the squad depth to be able to compete in more than just a league. They should be able to have some kind of side gallivanting as well. So I agree with Josh on that basis that it shouldn't normally be a hindrance. This season, however, I think it will be. I mean, you've already got 13 midweek games in the league.
Yeah.
Doing some mile totting, considering that obviously the players will still be going to all these games and we, the media, will be. We do about 2,500 miles in between December 1st and middle of January. You know, we do a hell of a lot of travelling and not a lot of time this season. If you count the extra 3 group stage games in the EFL Trophy, you count the Brighton away game next week in the EFL Cup, the FA Cup is likely to be midweek this season to try and cram it all in. You're looking upwards of 20 midweek games this season. Yeah. And that's only if you go out at the first hurdle of every cup game. If you proceed in some of these cups, you could be looking up to 25 maybe.
Yeah.
So I do think this year, even though we've got an EFL Trophy final pending, with a smaller squad, like you stated, with the salary cap implemented, it is quite conceivable that an early exit in this one to focus on a league which, let's be honest, is looking even tougher this year. It's probably the toughest that League One's looked in a long time to get out of when you consider the calibre of team that's hunting for the top six and some of the signings that have come into League One this year. You know, Greg Doherty, Aidan O'Brien dropping down from the Championship. It's going to be really tough. So I do wonder if the EFL Trophy or potentially the League Cup away at Brighton next week is one of those fall-on-your-sword moments in service of something, you know, more prosperous, which is getting out of this league.
The bread and butter, of course, is promotion this season, Josh. But looking back at the stats from the EFL Trophy, the last time Pompey were defeated was in January 2018 when we lost to the Chelsea under-21s in the first knockout stage of the competition. 16 consecutive victories in that competition within that time frame. It's an incredible run. And you mentioned a few moments ago how Kenny Jackett loves the competition. And of course, we as fans, we love to go as far as we can in every single competition. And perhaps, you know, 3 wins on the bounce at Wembley would be quite an achievement, wouldn't it?
I think it would. I think we'd have, at this moment, we'll probably get the third one before we get the second one.
I think it's more than likely.
Yeah, it is. But I think my argument would be with this competition is, and last season especially, when Pompey are struggling in the league, the EFL Trophy last season seemed to help us turn our form around. We'd lose 2 on the trot, or we'd go away and draw a couple and not be in the greatest form. All of a sudden, we win on a Tuesday night in the EFL Cup, and then it seemingly was so that our league form picked up as well. So I think, as Ryan said, having a run is great, but it's finding that balance. And if you look at our squad at the moment, I think we're still desperately a couple of players short in certain positions, especially centre half. If we lost one player through injury, and one of those games only takes one injury, then we are struggling for weeks.
Lads, thank you. We are going to head to a quick break and play now, Pompey fans, as we conclude part one of this evening's chat. We'll be back in just a few moments' time to continue with the conversation in which we begin to look ahead to this weekend's league action. To get involved with the show tonight, if you have something you'd like to get off your chest, or perhaps you have a score prediction for the game, you can contact us through one of the following ways. Either text the word express to 81400, followed by your name and message, of course. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, visit facebook.com/Pompey, or simply include @ExpressFM within your tweets. So don't go anywhere and join us for part two of this evening's Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored by Stagecoach across the South. You can download the app now on both the Apple app and Google Play stores. Let's get straight back into it now and start off with a comment from back home. Danny Mullings has got in touch via Facebook. He says, I think it's just a matter of when his knee goes again. That's in relation to Jack Watmore. I asked you back home whether you think Jack Watmore will be Pompey's leading option in the centre-back position this season. Danny Mullings thinks it's just a matter of time before his knee goes again. Josh, on the back of our comment about Jack Watmore, and you can't help but feel that Danny does have a point. As much as we all see the potential, we all see how much of a great player Jack already is in League One, it does just seem to be every season a matter of waiting for it to happen.
I think there's no doubt in Jack's ability as a footballer. We all know it and we can all see it. Especially, you think back to not last season, but the season before, he put together a really good partnership with Matt Clark before the inevitable when his knee went. As I mentioned before, we're so short at centre-half at the moment. And if Jack isn't able to play Saturday, Tuesday, then Kenny has to go out and not only sign one, but potentially two centre-halves. I know we're desperate for a centre-half and a number 10, but Paul Downing, he's not going to play by the looks of it. He starts off at Stevenage and we all know how that looked at the back. Mm. So we need cover for Jack. And I'm more than happy with Jack playing. I think he's a brilliant footballer. And he looked good on Tuesday again alongside Raggett. My concern with Jack is when he comes up against the bigger, stronger strikers, he might slightly struggle in a physical battle. But I think we all know how desperately we need a centre-half, and hopefully we'll have one in the next week or two.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying, Ryan, that, you know, what Josh just said there about needing another centre-half in the transfer window before it does slam shut is quite spot on. And with Jack Watmore, he probably is going to be the leading option for Kenny Jackett in the heart of his defence this season. Previous campaigns, it's been Matt Clark. When he left, it was Christian Burgess. And now the weight falls upon Jack Pompey, Academy graduate, of course. A lot of expectation weighted on his shoulders. Do you think that another centre-back coming in, is that going to be a signing perhaps stronger than perhaps Jack's ability? Or do you think it's going to be someone who, you know, in a broader sense, not as good? You know, do we need cover for Jack in case that injury does come knocking again?
I think you need to try and secure the best centre-back as you can. A, because it's the last real position on the team that we can strengthen in terms of the numbers when you're looking at the salary cap. So you may as well see what you can do with that position. Don't just bring anyone in for the sake of it. Yeah. You really want to go out there. And I think, you know, from reports we've read, the attempted signing of, or the attempted approach for Harry Suter, who was at Fleetwood last season, that's the type of centre-back that I would be interested in.
In the last
regular season game that was played before football suspended, he actually scored an own goal and a goal in that game. Yeah. But he is a very solid centre back, and he played at the heart of a Fleetwood team that was never, you know, it was never trumped in a game. They were never completely out of a game. You never saw Fleetwood conceding, you know, 3, 4, 5 goals in a game, and that's because you have a guy like Harry in there, who's a great competitor. So if you can bring someone like that in before the window slams shut, brilliant. And to the point that you've made, to the point that Daniel's made, to the point that Josh has made, Jack is an unknown element, which is such a shame because we've seen the ability. Yeah. And that's the ability that's also been disrupted by several long-term injuries. Imagine the ability if that wasn't the case, because that would naturally disrupt the player's development.
I've no doubt.
I do think you try and have to match the ability of Jack with a signing you bring in. Because let's say Jack does get injured, you're then putting your defence, and indeed the last season of Kenny Jackett's contract, and this what is essentially a Hail Mary attempt to get into the Championship for him now, you're now resting it on a guy who he was so low in the depth chart last year. He was below a cardboard cutout of himself in terms of ready to play at centre-back in Paul Downing. Kenny Jackett would have done anything to use anyone else at centre-back than Paul Downing last year. That was clearly evident. Has Downing done anything in training to prove that he's ready to make a step up? At this very early stage, admittedly, the answer is no. And Sean Raggett, who was a tale of two centre-halves last year, again, what do we expect of him coming into this season? So we have an unknown in the sense of Sean Raggett is which Sean Raggett do we get? We have an unknown in Paul Downing in terms of is he a serviceable defender full stop? And we have an unknown in Jack Watmore, can he last a season?
Yeah.
It is a very worrying state of affairs at centre-back right now. So I don't think you just try and bring in a centre-back for the sake of him being able to play there. I think we have a duty to go out and try and get the best possible centre-back we can get, even if it means a few pounds being spent on him as well.
Yeah.
Because right now, the centre-back core does worry me a lot.
I have no doubt, as Ryan mentioned there, Josh, that had it not been for Jack's horrendous injuries over the last few years, he would be in the Championship right now. He would be a player competing at the right end of the Championship. He's got that ability, he's got that potential that we have seen, just not, unfortunately, on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I've been a critic of Jack Watmore in the past, and for me, it's a bit like Raggett, as Ryan said. I think it's what Jack you get. A fully fit Jack Watmore, yes, would be a Championship player, but in football, you have two horrific knee injuries like that, and it really, really does hinder you. And unfortunately, I think that's the way, as Ryan said, when it comes to our centre-half position, there's no good having a backup for Jack Watmore. If we're going to bring in a backup for Jack Watmore, you might as well play Paul Downing there.
Yeah.
You need to go out and get, in my opinion, a strong footballing centre-half, someone who's good with the ball at his feet, because we've had that in Clark, we've had that in Burgess. We don't get that from Raggett, but Raggett has the ability to win the ball in the air and win the tackle. He's your proper old-fashioned centre-half. Watmore has a bit of both, but if you put a good footballing centre-half alongside either of them,
yeah,
then it completely changes the way you play. You take someone like Charlie Mulgrew, who we were linked with, who I don't actually think has signed for Fleetwood yet, despite being linked. It completely opens up not only the way you defend and play the ball across the back, but immediately you're attacking from the back. And that is something that Pompey don't do. We don't play the ball out particularly well from the back. We did with Clark, but as a fan watching, I'm always nervous when we're trying to play around with it, because I know inevitably we'll do something stupid and we'll give the ball away.
Yeah.
And I don't think we have the sources. We've got fantastic central midfielder in Tom Naylor, but I don't think with a back to goal under pressure, he's going to wibble his way out of the situation when he's given a hospital pass. We bring in a footballing centre-half, I think it completely changes the way we play, and we'll get the ball out wide and we'll start getting the ball into the box more to a striker who, at the moment, just gets the ball to head, and you get the ball in behind to him, he's going to score you 20 goals a season.
Yeah. Do you think that could be the make or break point for Pompey this season, and Josh, if they don't sign that football playing centre half before the window shuts later this month?
I think so. I think a centre half is the main thing. My other concern is the number 10, and I think every Pompey fan has said it. I personally think Harness is better on the wing. I think he's a fantastic footballer with his feet. I'm a big Ryan Williams fan, but I think Harness, if you want creative flair, he has to be out on the wing. And then you have to bring in a number 10. We've got Gareth Evans, and Gareth Evans is a fantastic footballer. Every Pompey fan loves Gareth Evans. But yeah, for me, he's better suited when we're playing away from home. We need somebody who can see a pass that people in the crowd can't. We need someone that's going to play a through ball and set up our attack to get in behind. We don't need energy like Andy Cannon. Andy Cannon's a great footballer, but we need somebody with brilliant technique and creative flair. And that's not always easy to find at this level.
No.
You have to go out and spend money. We missed the trick with Sammy Schmoddix. Peterborough have got a fantastic signing. We need someone that's going to link the midfield and the strikers. And I don't think we have that at the moment.
That's another conversation in itself, Ryan, which leads nicely on to my next question about Marcus Harness, and probably the biggest topic of this evening's show. A fantastic performance from him on Tuesday night. He bagged a brace for his efforts. He was very close to actually getting a hat-trick on a couple of occasions in the second half. Going into tomorrow's game at home to Shrewsbury, do you think he's better suited, as Josh has mentioned there, on the right-hand side? Or do you think it could be worth an experiment using him behind the striker in that number 10 role?
I think naturally Marcus Harness would prefer playing in the centre, because he is not a man who is sort of restricted to a certain position, because Ryan Williams has a more natural right winger positional awareness about him. Marcus Harness likes to drift into holes, pick up the ball, use his quick feet to get out of trouble and lay it off, which is kind of what you'd hope a number 10 to be able to do, to play in that hole. But who stands to benefit more if Callum Johnson is this on-rushing, overlapping, ball-whipping into box fullback that we've signed?
Hmm.
does Ryan Williams benefit more because he's got less technical ability than Marcus Harness? And if he's got an overlapping fullback, that will ease some pressure off him in the sense that we could create quite a few two-on-one situations. Or do you keep Marcus Harness on the right flank and you take two players who really love to go at their opposite numbers, who really love to get down those flanks and then get beyond, get the ball into the box? So I would actually like to experiment first to see if Harness can sit in the number 10 and see what Callum Johnson can do to unlock a bit more of Ryan Williams and a bit more of his freedom on the right-hand side. If it doesn't work, then you go back to Harness on the right-hand side and you see if him and Johnson can develop this kind of formidable relationship through the course of the season. Mm. But I think right now, Ryan Williams would probably need a bit more help on the right-hand side when he's playing on his own than Harness would. So I'd probably experiment first, and if not, revert to type and let Johnson and Harness go wild for a season. Mm. And if we have to ride that all, you know, if we have to ride that all the way to May and see if it can be a game changer for us, then so be it.
Yeah. Alan Swift has emailed in. He says, "Hi, guys. I believe the bookies are placing us around about fourth. Do no different to last time. I think the main problem now is the lack of forward central penetration and sharp goal taking. Otherwise, it's the same again, with the sad possibility of failure in the playoffs. Some excellent sides are above us. Maybe we're not quite good enough for the playoff spots or even the automatic places. Great to see Jack back, though. Adds class at the back." And he then goes on to say, "I totally agree what is being said about the centre-half position. I really hope that Jack stays fit." Let's move along to some other names in that back four now then, Josh, and two players who were signed by Kenny Jackett this summer, Cameron Pring and Callum Johnson, left back, right back from their respective clubs. They made their debuts on Tuesday night and quite honestly, they had quite good games as well. Cameron Pring, we'll start with him in that left back role. Many fans were worried that perhaps Lee Brown would, you know, continue in that position going into the new campaign, but it seems as though Pring is likely to be Kenny Jackett's number one.
I think it's a difficult one, that position, because I think as what we had last season was said and was somebody who would fly forward and has fantastic ability crossing the ball. With Brown, you know exactly what you're going to get with Lee Brown. He's solid. He'll do a great job defensively. And actually, if you watch the bloke, he flies forward. Unfortunately, for a team that's pushing promotion, I don't think Lee Brown's delivery is good enough. He is a fantastic defender and he gets forward, but the difference between him and Seddon last season was the delivery. And look at the assists that Seddon brought in straight away, even just from set pieces. That completely changed the game for us. Brown, yes, we're better defensively with him, but when it comes to getting to the byline and crossing the ball, it's not to the level of Seddon. And I think Brown is a fantastic League One left back up towards a sort of top 16.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is we need to replace the set piece delivery that we had from Seddon last season and the ability to cross the ball when hitting the byline and overlapping your man. It looks as though Johnson will be able to do that on the right. And I must admit, right back wasn't a position I thought we would strengthen, because I think James Bolton's a good solid defender and you've got other options that can move across as well. But I would like to think that he will start with Pring at left back.
Yeah.
But the part of me just thinks, and we all know what Kenny Jackett is like, he will revert to whether it's favouritism or whether it's just knowing that he will get a solid performance out of Lee Brown. I think he will probably go with Lee Brown, but I would like to see us be a bit more adventurous and go with someone who potentially is a better deliverer of the ball.
Yeah. Cameron Pring, of course, on loan for the season from Bristol City, Ryan, but Callum Johnson signed for a fee of a reported £200,000 from Accrington Stanley. He is our player on a permanent basis, which for many supporters is really the most important thing about that transfer. He is now ours, and we don't have to worry about midway through the season him being recalled, or at the end of a campaign, him no longer being a Blues player.
Well, rule one is never fall in love with a loan player. And that came back to bite us pretty hard with Ben Thompson a couple seasons ago. The other good thing about having Callum Johnson on a permanent is his age. You get to develop a guy at that age, because 23, with the way that sports science is developing now, players don't retire at the age they did 10, 20 years ago. in sort of the mid 30s. Players can reach 40 now. You know, it is getting to a stage where you can add 5 years extra on to your career the way that players get taken care of now. So 23 is really no age in football. That could still be 15 years of Callum Johnson's development. Obviously, I'm not saying we could keep him for that entire time.
Yeah.
But when you buy a player at that age who's already got, you know, 2 years of League One experience under his belt, and based on the way that Pompey have played both games so far, it's been more of a possession-based game rather than up and down the field. I would like to see us try and develop Johnson in such a way that continues what he was doing at Accrington, setting up those overlaps with his right-wing partner, getting those balls into the box, not just lumping them in, because from what I've seen of him, he does actually like to pick a man out in the box. I would like to see us utilise those traits he's developed at a fairly young age and see what we can kick on from that. And if he can get, you know, the same work rate going back from his wing partner, which you do get from Ryan Williams and sometimes Marcus Harness, then he is going to be a very good acquisition for us. And I can see the Pompey fans taking to a guy that will spend 90 minutes getting up and down the field, exciting the fans if he can put good deliveries into the box, because it's something we've been starved of outside of Steve Seddon for quite a while.
Yeah. Jack Hancock has got involved on Twitter. He says, Harness and Johnson is absolutely filthy, and I love it, says Jack on Twitter. Thank you for getting in touch. Don't forget, Blues fans, you can have your say too. Text word express followed by your name and message to 81400. Visit our Facebook page, facebook.co.uk/PompeyLive. You can tweet us at ExpressFM on Twitter, or you can email Pompey@ExpressFM.com. Where do you predict the Blues to end the 2020-21 League One campaign? Does John Marquis need a natural number 10 in behind him to aid with his objective of becoming the league's top goal scorer? And who do you pick for your starting 11 for tomorrow's match? Myself, Ryan and Josh will be right back on 93.7 Express FM for the conclusion of a Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time this evening to the Football Hour, supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Be sure to only travel if absolutely necessary, and don't forget, a face covering must be worn upon boarding and throughout your entire journey. For more information on timetables and the latest guidelines, visit stagecoach.co.uk. And I've got to laugh because Mason Jordan, I think he's desperate to get on this show. Having his advert on twice in quick succession, I don't think there's any explaining that. Mason, we'll get you on soon, mate. I just want to throw it over to Josh and just ask him about a comment he made in the group chat that we've set up for this evening's show. Josh, what was it you described that advert as?
The JJ Okocha of adverts. So good it was read twice.
That is absolutely brilliant. The JJ Okocha of adverts. Mason Jordan, pork mouth. Absolutely love it. You can't beat it. Next up for the Blues is the visit of Shrewsbury Town, of course, in League One, and Pompey's opening fixture of the new campaign. Let's take a closer look at this week's opposition, and shock, it's Mason Jordan again.
6 months and 2 days later, league football is finally back on the menu at Fratton Park. The last time PO4 hosted a match in this division was way back on the 10th of March, when the Blues drew 2-2 with Fleetwood Town. Travelling down from Shropshire for the opening fixture of the new League One season is Shrewsbury Town.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Tuesday night saw Pompey begin their EFL trophy campaign with a 2-0 group stage victory over League Two Colchester United. Marcus Harness provided a quick-fire double just before the break. That win followed a Carabao Cup penalty shootout success at Stevenage 10 days previously, which set up a second-round tie away to Brighton Hove Albion next Thursday. But it's the league which is Kenny Jackett's bread and butter this season, so let's take a look at Pompey's first opponents, Shrewsbury.
Manager.
Former Wolverhampton Wanderers defender Sam Ricketts, who captained the side under boss Kenny Jackett during his time at Molineux, will once again be in the opposing dugout to his former gaffer. The 38-year-old, who also ran out for Swansea City under Kenny Jackett's management between 2000 2004 and 2006, was a member of the Wolves squad that won the 2014 league title with a record 103 points, which still stands today. Since his appointment at Shrewsbury nearly 2 years ago, Ricketts has managed 23 wins from 79 competitive fixtures, guiding the Shrews to an 18th and 15th place to finish.
One to watch.
Experienced league midfielder Ollie Norburn is one to look out for this weekend. The 27-year-old stands at 6 foot and 1 inch tall and wears the number 8 shirt for the Shrews, who he joined in 2018. He has since scored 12 goals in 57 appearances for Sam Ricketts' side. Throughout his career, which began as a youth player at Chelsea, Norburn has played for the likes of Bristol Rovers, Plymouth Argyle and Tranmere Rovers.
Top scorer.
The side has three players jointly leading this accolade. All of Scott High, Jason Cummings and Rekel Pike each have one goal to their name thus far this season, all netting in Shrewsbury's 4-3 defeat to Middlesbrough in the first round of the Carabao Cup last week. Last season's top scorer was Cummings, who netted 7 times across all competitions, scoring 4 of those in the league.
Current form.
Unlike most clubs up and down the country in Leagues 1 and 2, Shrewsbury are yet to play their opening match in the EFL Trophy. Therefore, were out of action on Tuesday night when the rest of the division were out playing. As a result, Shrewsbury's form stands at 1 game and 1 defeat so far this season, which pales in comparison to Pompey's strong start of 2 wins from 2. Can the Blues make it 3 wins from 3 in all competitions so far this season and get smiles all around for Pompey's League One opener? Find out all the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there providing you with all you need to know about tomorrow afternoon's opponents, Shrewsbury, who make the trip down from Shropshire for the opening league match of the season. Don't forget to catch us for all of the action of Pompey versus Shrewsbury Town tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock. Pompey Live will be back with myself, Ryan here, and the returning Liam Howes, who I'm hoping has brought me back a souvenir from CBeebies Land. Heading into the game tomorrow then, Josh, and it's a match that kind of mirrors last season's opening weekend fixture, which was away to Shrewsbury Town. We'll be hoping for the reverse result from that one.
We will. I mean, we were quite unlucky in that game. I think, 35 yards out, was it straight in the top bins? There's nothing you can really do about that. Shrewsbury are always a tough team to play against. They're usually strong at the back, don't really concede many, and are hard to break down. My hope is that we get at them early. When we score early, we give ourselves a lot of freedom. The pressure that comes by not scoring in the first half, then I suppose the one benefit players will have is that they won't have as much. They won't have a crowd behind them. If we struggle to break down a team like Shrewsbury, they won't have fans then getting on their back. Yeah. I personally think it'll be a low scoring game, and I can see us potentially edging it 1-0, or I've got it down as a 1-1 draw at the moment.
Going into the season then, Ryan, of course, Shrewsbury up first on home turf. I mean, it's Rochdale away, Wigan at home, who have this afternoon been granted permission to start the league, which, you know, for them is a win in all senses. And then we've got Burton away, MK Dons and Doncaster at home. The opening 6 games, you look at that and you think, OK, Doncaster is probably going to be the most difficult of those matches. Wigan, you can never really brush aside that easily, but with the ongoing troubles off the pitch, it is likely that Pompey are on paper going to be the strongest of the two teams. And then, of course, Rochdale, Burton and MK Dons, who, of course, you can never disrespect, but again, on paper, should be beating those teams. Would you say that the opening few fixtures for Pompey is something that we've got to take advantage of and start the campaign off strong?
I would say so, yeah. If you know, those first set of fixtures, you're looking at a team in administration, you're looking at a team of annual mid-table dwellers, certainly in Shrewsbury. I mean, in their 2 seasons under Sam Ricketts, they have finished just below mid-table, but they've conceded the fewest goals of any team in the bottom half of the table, to Josh's point that they don't concede all that much. You know, they are quite a 1-1 kind of team. It's a scoreline you'll often see with Shrewsbury. And those other teams, yeah, you are going to have to get off to a good start here, because at some point you're going to come up against the the gauntlet of teams in this league that are going to try and get out of the league. So Pompey have to make a statement this year. You can't start as badly as we did last year. You can't drop to 14th. You can't drop to 19th. That, you know, even though we had games in hand at that point, we did still drop to 19th at one point, I believe in around September period. You have to make a statement straight away and say, yes, we may have not made the audacious big name signings that Hull and Peterborough and Sunderland and Fleetwood have, but we're still here to try and get out of this league. And this will be our first couple of months as a statement, as a forward march, saying we're in this fight all to the way. And there'll be no team sat on the beach thinking they've pulled this off by March, because there are so many teams in that hunt that no team will be able to lay there thinking we've got the job wrapped up. I don't see any runaway winner this year. So we have to get off to the strongest start possible, lay to waste, lay to memory what happened last year, the heartbreak in the playoffs, the record-breaking club run that it needed just to get us back into the playoffs. We were that far behind at one point. You have to be from start to finish a team ready to go this year. And I think the biggest sort of difference maker this season will be attrition, because of the amount of Saturday Tuesday games we'll be playing. Which team completely falls apart in the sort of late winter period of January, February, because it's all getting a bit too much for them? I do see that happening to a couple of teams this year. So I think it for Pompey this season, this will have to be a season based on graft and playing 90 minutes at 100% more than any other season that they've had under Kenny Jackett. This is probably the hardest season he's had so far. So absolutely, we have to start strongly, because if you don't, you're already looking up and it's just going to get harder.
Yeah. Let's take a look at some of the other fixtures happening this weekend in League One then. Accrington Stanley are at home to Peterborough. Crewe Alexandra promoted, of course, from League Two last season. They welcome Charlton, of course, relegated down from the Championship. Doncaster at home to MK Dons. Fleetwood against Burton. Gillingham take on Hull at Priestfield. Lincoln are at home to Oxford United, who beat Pompey in the playoffs last season. Northampton Town promoted from League Two again. They host AFC Wimbledon. Plymouth are at home to Blackpool. Of course, Pompey take on Shrewsbury. Sunderland, they are at home to Bristol Rovers. And Swindon, also promoted from League Two, take on Rochdale. And on Sunday, of course, Wigan Athletic, who we previously mentioned, they are away to Ipswich Town. Midday kickoff on Sunday. And let's get to some of the more interaction coming in to us then before we do love you and leave you. Steve Hughes says, Ben Close needs more game time in the middle this season. This time last year, he was being nicknamed the Pompey Perlo. Now we can't get near the starting 11. And one in from Stephen Geary, who says, chaps, you're all forgetting we had an excellent centre-half in Christian Burgess. We let him leave, offering what he says was a rubbish contract. Now we are talking about spending to replace him. Jackett has known his team for months. Poor management, as usual. Panic time, says Stephen on the emails. And in regards to the question I posed earlier, what starting lineup would you like to face Shrewsbury Town tomorrow? Jack Hancock has got back involved with the discussion. He says he wants to play Craig McGilvery in goal, Big Johnson at right back, Raggett, Watmore, and Pringles, who is named at left back. Pompey, Xavi and Naylor in the middle, with Williams, Harness and Curtis, and Big John Marquis up top. Okay, let's get the thoughts of the guys, well, I would say in the studio, it's quite a habit of me to say, but over the phone lines. Josh Sweetman, speaking of your starting lineup for the game tomorrow, what do you change from Tuesday night's win over Colchester?
I don't think much will change personally. I think what you just alluded to and what someone writing in alluded to, it's amazing that nobody has really brought up Ben Close's name.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he's probably naturally one of our technically most gifted footballers in the team. And yet all of a sudden, that strange habit that Kenny Jackett has of completely removing players from the first team has happened. It happened with Tom Naylor, and it seemingly happened with Ben Close, a player like Bryn Morris, who he might be a good footballer, but and he might be a Jackett favourite, but we don't know much about him. And I think I can tell you now that I'd much rather Ben Close in midfield keeping control of the ball than Bryn Morris, who at the end of the day he seems like an average okay footballer, but we know what Ben Close brings to the team. I would bring him in straight away and play him alongside Tom Naylor, and I think that would probably be my only other change, other than maybe Cannon for Evans.
Yeah. Alan Swift says, Marquess needs more support up front or we lose his ability up top. Number 10 is needed. Yes, both these are my main concerns. Let's get to some score predictions before we do end the show tonight. Then on Facebook, Mike Edwards says, Pompey 3, Shrewsbury 1. Reese is going for a 3-0 win. Chris Morley says 2-2. John Henning is going for 4-2. Doug Phillips says 2-0. Craig Vaughan also says 2-0. John Lush says 2-1. There's loads of them coming in. We're going to finish with Andrew Perry, who thinks that Shrewsbury will walk away with a 2-1 victory. Let's get the score predictions now of the two guys joining me over the phone. We'll start off with you, Ryan. A quick score prediction for tomorrow's game.
I don't think we're all there defensively yet, as we've spoken about tonight. But I do think this new style of play we're going to try out may reap its rewards. So I'd at least hope for us to win 2-1.
2-1.
Oh, let's be optimistic for a new season, eh?
Yeah, 2-1 says Ryan. Josh Sweetman, your prediction for tomorrow's game, please.
I'd love some of your optimism to rub off on me, Ryan. I'm going to go for a highly frustrating 1-1 with the majority of the game, but we just can't break down a solid trophy team.
Ryan, Josh, thank you both so much for joining me on the show this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you join us over the phone lines for the show. That brings an end to the Football Hour here on Express FM. I hope you enjoyed our preview of tomorrow's League One opener, Pompey taking on Shrewsbury Town at Fratton Park. Thanks, of course, once again to Josh and Ryan for joining me over the phone. Thanks to Stagecoach Across the South for supporting this season's Football Hour on Express FM. Let's take a look at what's coming up this evening on the station, men. From 7 o'clock, we've got Express Floor Fillers getting you ready for the weekend with the biggest and the best floor fillers. Hip Shaker returns at 9 p.m. with a groovy blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat. And then from 11, we've got Express Party, the biggest tunes for the weekend with non-stop music, all the way through till tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. When Mason Jordan returns for Portsmouth Breakfast. And then at 11, Lily Park is back with great songs, with Tiny Quiz and a couple of weekend bangers to kickstart your Saturday afternoon. And then from 2 o'clock, it's the big one. Pompey Live. Pompey take on Shrewsbury Town at Fratton Park. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff for the opening League One game of the season. We hope you can join us for it, and we're looking forward to hearing all of your texts, tweets and emails ahead of the game. Let us know your score predictions for me, Liam and Ryan. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Play up Pompey. And please, stay safe, everyone. See you tomorrow.